Welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church on this Super Bowl Sunday. Thank you to everyone who brought all of this food for the blessing box. This will truly bless other folks. So thank you very, very much. Got a few announcements this morning. We have a lot going on this week as we are getting ready for our semi-annual congregational meeting. Pastors everywhere are in full report mode. I spent a couple hours this week doing my report for the bishop. I'm getting ready this week to do the congregational report to the ELCA. And our annual reports for the congregation are due tomorrow. So we've already received some. I think Judy wins the prize for first in. Good job, Judy. But all the other reports are due tomorrow. I think I've sent everyone who has to submit one a reminder. And so those, along with the annual audits, will be compiled into our annual report, which you'll receive next Sunday, so you have a week or so to look it over before the meeting. Council meets tomorrow evening at 7, and then we've got quite a few other things this week. Senior citizens on Wednesday, worship and music Wednesday, cemetery committee meeting Wednesday, Bible study Thursday. And then next week is Transfiguration Sunday. We are already at the end of the season after Epiphany. Lent starts in a week and a half with Ash Wednesday, and we want to make sure that you know you are invited to join us for dinner on Shrove Tuesday. Something special is happening next Sunday. We have a guest preacher. It's Pastor Tim Brown. He is the Director for Stewardship for the ELCA. And so he is going to come and preach for us. And before worship, he's going to offer a Sunday school class on stewardship, primarily because we haven't had a functioning stewardship committee in many years. And stewardship is discipleship. And so he's going to give us some tips and some thoughts on how to get a stewardship committee up and running. So that's going to be from 9:15 to 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. I'll send out a reminder, but would love if you could join us for that. A couple things, let's see. Karen Beck is having knee replacement surgery this Friday, so she is on the prayer list. Please pray for her, for her surgery, but even more for the recovery. She worked really hard last time, and her healthy knee is in really good shape, and so we hope that in just a few months this knee will get to that point as well. Yesterday, Stephanie Hearn's dad, Larry Wilson, died. So please be in prayer for Stephanie, for Abby Wilson, and Jacob, and the rest of the family. The service will be here Friday at 4:30, with visitation in the fellowship hall starting at 3:30. And I think other than the prayer shawl and birthdays, the only other announcement is something from the fellowship committee. So I'd like to invite Karen forward. And as she's coming forward, perhaps we can thank the fellowship committee for the wonderful soup and sandwich lunch that we are going to have after worship. Okay, let's first thank her and thank the fellowship committee. And she says she's going to project, so you go, girl.
So on behalf of the fellowship committee, I want to wish a week all of you an early happy Valentine. Did everybody get candy and a Valentine? Paul the Troll Valentine, isn't that cute? So if you'll look at your Valentine, please.
So Stephen just won the giveaway. It's a bag full of goodies from Sinfully Delicious. So thank you again to the Fellowship Committee for all you do for us and for our meal today. Speaking of the meal, just a reminder that before the sending hymn, we will offer a prayer to the tune of Edelweiss. That's in the bulletin. So this prayer shawl is for a friend of Edwina's named Roger. He's going through some really difficult health challenges, and Edwina sees him every day when she walks and prays with him and gives her special Edwina wisdom to him. He actually calls her mama. And so she's asked if we could offer this prayer shawl to Roger. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you bring people into our lives, just like you have brought Edwina into Roger's life so that she can love him and support him and care for him. We ask that you would bless this prayer shawl. As Roger feels the weight of it on his shoulders and on his lap, may he know that there is so much love in the world, that he is loved by Edwina and by all the disciples here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Bless him as he seeks wisdom and counsel for all that he is going through, and give him your comfort and peace. Amen. And last but not least, we've got several birthdays this week. Lincoln Murphy, who turns 3 today, that's no longer a baby, that's big boy territory. Tina Hedrick, David Clark, Conrad Summer, and Latifah Dennis. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy God, the Holy Trinity, one God who creates us, redeems us, and calls us by name. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and your beloved children. We have turned our faces away from your glory when it did not appear as we expected. We have rejected your word when it made us confront ourselves. We have failed to show hospitality to those you called us to welcome. Accept our repentance for the things we have done and the things we have left undone. For the sake of Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, and lead us, that we may bathe in the glory of your Son, born among us, and reflect your love for all creation. Amen. Rejoice in this good news. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are adopted into the household of Christ and are inheritors of eternal life. Live as freed and forgiven children of God. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call earth, heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord sworn to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms with your accuser while you are on the way to court with them, and your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to everyone who looks at a woman with lust, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And I think Sawyer is the only child today. So Sawyer, you want to come up for a children's message? Good morning, bro. How are you? Good? Have you had a good week? Well, you helped me carry this box up here earlier, and I just wanted to show you what's in the box. So it makes my heart so happy that you've been coming to church, and we've had more and more kiddos coming to church lately. And so I thought, I want to put together a little activity bag so that when you guys are sitting in our service, that you've got a few things to do, because let's face it, sometimes the service can be long, and it can be a lot of words, and it can be hard to sit still through. Am I right? Yeah. So thank you to all of you who contribute to the pastor's discretionary fund, because with those gifts, I get to do things like this. Purchase the things for an activity bag. So in here, we have a Bible so that you can look at the story that we are reading here on Sundays, but you can look at it in a children's Bible. It's nice. It's got some pictures in there. Let's see what else. Oh, here's a clipboard, because everything is more fun with a clipboard, right? So there's some plain paper to write on, but also there's a folder in here with all kinds of coloring pages. So like this one is the wine and the bread for communion. This one has a picture of the church and the world, and it says, we don't just go to church, we are the church. Let's see. This one says, God loves me. Oh, this one's fun. This has all of the books inside of the Bible. So you can color these pages, which means in this little pouch there are some crayons and there's a pencil. So these are just some different things that you can have in your activity bag on Sundays. And what I'm going to do is when you come in those red doors on Sunday mornings, on the wall to your left, I'm going to have some hooks there. And these activity bags are going to be hanging on those hooks. So you grab yourself a bag, go to your seat, have a little bit of fun, and then after worship, when you get ready to leave, you just take your bag back and hang it on the hook. Does that sound pretty good? All right. So if you want, you can take this one, although you're awfully busy during worship. You're back there helping kneel, and you come up during communion, and you help me offer the gluten-free wafers to people, so you're kind of busy in worship anyway. And then one more thing, I just wanted to give you a Valentine, because I love you very much, and I think you're really special. This says, you're utterly amazing, and that's a picture of an otter. And I just want to thank you for being here and for helping serve in worship. You have a bright light inside of you, and your light is very evident to all of us. So thank you for being here. Can I pray for us? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for all of the children that come to church. We especially thank you for Sawyer, for his bright light, and for the ways that he serves us in worship. Bless him, O God. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Do you want to take this back to the chair with you? All right. Thanks for coming up, pal. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but hearing that gospel lesson was not easy. In fact, I really, really wrestled with it this week, because a lot of those words don't sound like Jesus' words. And I think the challenge comes in the fact that he was speaking in a very specific context, at a very specific time. And so the challenge is figuring out what he was saying to those people in that context so that we can apply it to us in our context. So let's see how this goes. Can you believe that in just a week and a half, Lent begins? In less than a week and a half, we have Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday, and For as much as January seemed to drag on and on and on, we're already halfway through February, and we are almost at Lent. In fact, this is the last Sunday until June that we're going to have green pyramids, because for the next several weeks, it'll be purple for Lent and Holy Week, and then it'll be white all throughout Eastertide. So it'll be June the next time we see these green pyramids, and perhaps when you see them at that point, you'll think, oh my gosh, I remember when she talked about the last Sunday of this for a while. I can't believe it's already here. Just a few Sundays ago, we celebrated the Feast of Epiphany. We read the story of the Magi, and we remembered again that in Jesus, God reveals God's self to the entire world, to all nations, to all people. And in this season after Epiphany, our gospel lessons have continued to reveal to us who Jesus is. The Christ, the Messiah, who became one of us and who lived among us. When God, who created the entire universe and all of the stars and galaxies, took on human form in the little tiny baby of Jesus, Jesus brought with him the kingdom of God, or the reign of God. The word that we often translate as kingdom can also be translated as reign, and that's the word I prefer to use, because when we think of kingdom, we sort of think of a geographical area, something that we can put on a map. But the kingdom of God isn't a geographical area. It is the reign of God that covers all of the earth, and it covers all of time and space. The reign of God helps me to think of something a little more expansive than the kingdom of God, and so that's the word I'm going to be using. So Jesus brought about the reign of God when he came to earth. He lived it out in his life, in his words, and his actions, and someday when he returns to earth again, he is going to fully and completely bring the kingdom of God to the earth for all eternity. But for now, we live in the time of already and not yet. Jesus already brought the kingdom of God, but it's not yet fully realized. And so until then, as God's children, we are called to allow God to use us to help bring about the reign of God on earth as it is in heaven, with our words and actions and our lives. But the challenge is, all people, then and now, have hopes and expectations for what the reign of God is, what it looks like, how it's lived out. And let's face it, the reign of God turns everything upside down, and it doesn't meet our hopes and expectations that often. The reign of God shows God's heart and God's desire for the world and all of humanity. God loves and cares for the least of these and the outcasts and the vulnerable. God lifts up the lowly and brings low the powerful. This is what the reign of God looks like. And the reign of God includes and envelops all people, not just the people we want it to, but all people, especially the ones we deem unlovable or unworthy. So in this season after Epiphany, Jesus is helping us in this gospel lesson and the last couple of Sundays as we've looked at the other passages on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is revealing for us more and more of what God's desire is for humanity and for the world by helping us understand the law better. God gave God's people the gift of the law at Mount Sinai. In this case, the passage we're reading today, the law refers to the Ten Commandments. And so Jesus is trying to tell the people that the law is a gift for us because God wants all people to flourish. And God wants our relationships to flourish because our relationships matter to God. Yes, our relationships with God matter, but our relationships with other humans matter. So these laws that God gave as a gift to God's people are intended to foster and create flourishing in our relationships. But throughout history, humans haven't thought of the law as gift, but rather rules and restrictions, and sometimes we even think of it as a checklist. And so that's the context in which Jesus offers today's gospel lesson. There were a lot of people who thought of the law as a checklist in Jesus' day, to the point of boasting themselves up. So using a couple of the examples from the lesson, they might think, well, yeah, I'm a pretty good person because one, I don't murder people, so check, I'm meeting that commandment, and oh yeah, I don't commit adultery, check, there's another commandment, let me pat myself on the back here. But Jesus says to his disciples and to us, wait a minute, you're missing the point. Because the law isn't a checklist, it's an invitation to a way of living out God's love and mercy and grace in our relationships. And Jesus summed up for us the law in the two commandments of loving God with our whole being, our heart and our mind and ourselves, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And so what he's doing in this passage is he's taking those commandments and he's expanding them. He's enlarging them. Because God cares about our actions, yes, but God also cares about our intentions and the heart that is behind what we do and what we say. So Jesus expanding these commandments is helping us to understand how God wants us to act out the reign of God that is already in our midst. So for example, in Jesus' day, a man could divorce his wife for any reason that displeased him. Maybe she might dress in a way that he didn't like, or maybe she cooked a meal and he didn't like the meal. Any ridiculous reason that we can think of like that, a man could divorce his wife for that in Jesus' time. And not only is that awful enough, but in Jesus' time, women whose husbands divorced them were often left to starve in the streets because of the structure of society. Women who were divorced had no financial recourse. They would not be welcomed back into their childhood or their parents' homes. And the social stigma from being divorced was so severe. So what Jesus is actually trying to say is, yes, although you're not breaking the law by divorcing your wife, because it is permitted by law to divorce your wife, but that's not just enough to follow the letter of the law. Because the law calls us to love others as ourselves. So if you divorce your wife, what about her vulnerability and her shame and her future? In other words, the reign of God that Jesus inaugurated and continues to shape in the world, we have a responsibility to others because we're called to love them as ourselves. So what does it mean for us that Jesus enlarges and expands the law? Well, I want to read for you a couple things from the Small Catechism. I don't know about you, but I love the Small Catechism. I have one in every Bible. I have some at home. I have some in my office. I have one in my car. I love the Small Catechism. But much to the relief of the confirmands, I'm not making them memorize it, although I hope some of you did. But let me read for you what Luther writes regarding the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. So we hear you shall not murder, and we think, okay, I just don't need to kill anybody. That's how we keep that commandment. But actually, what does it mean to not murder? It means that we are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs. That's what it means to not murder. It doesn't just mean we're not to go out and kill somebody. It means that we are to neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We are to fear and love God so that we lead pure and decent lives in word and deed, and each of us loves and honors our spouse. And then the other one Jesus is talking about, when he talks about swearing, it's not using swear words, it's about taking oaths and making vows. So you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. That's a lot more than just not lying. This is what it means for us, that Jesus expands the law, the commandments. It means so much more than just taking the literal meaning of those words, because God, yes, of course, cares about our actions, but God cares about the intentions of our heart. And God calls us to love others as ourselves. All throughout this Sermon on the Mount, I have been struck by the fact that Jesus never once talks about what we should believe, but instead about how we should act and behave and the intentions behind our actions and behaviors. Because following Jesus means that he wants to shape our lives after his, so that our living will look like the way he lived, and our loving others will look like the way that he loved others. We want it to be easy, and we think it should be easy when we think love others as ourselves. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, that loving God with our whole being and loving others as ourselves means that we have to daily and constantly die to ourselves. We have to lay down our sinful desires, our selfish and greedy desires, our complacent and apathetic desires, and let God's love and grace grow and grow in us so that it shapes and forms every area of our life, so that we can grow more and more into the likeness of Christ. And that brings us yet again back to the font. When we start our worship service every Sunday, we offer words of confession and assurance of forgiveness at the font, because it is in baptism that God gives us the forgiveness of sins. It is in baptism that we die to ourselves and rise again to Christ, rising again to new life, to transformed life, to forgiven life, so that we can live as freed and forgiven children of God. In the waters of baptism, God transforms us into God's people. And in baptism, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who will never leave us or forsake us. And I'm so glad, because growing into the likeness of Jesus and living out the commandments in an enlarged way requires the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. So when you come again to the table today and stop at the font, remember your baptism by making the sign of the cross on your forehead. Remember that just like in your baptism, God forgives you, and God gives you the Holy Spirit to help you live out the love that God lavishes on us. Remember in your baptism that God formed you, that God redeems you, God loves you and forgives you, and God gives you new life, a life in which we are called to love God with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole strength and our whole body, and we're called to love others as ourselves. May it be so to the glory of God. Amen.
Living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Inspire your church that it may be a sign of life throughout the world, from the exploration of faith with children and new believers to missionaries, bishops, shape lives of faithfulness so that all find abundant life in your ways. Merciful God, nourish your creation, accompany all who plant and water, bless the work of farmers, provide for subsistence farmers facing drought and climate change, guide the work of our agricultural scientists towards sustainable ways to feed the world. Merciful God, give growth where there seems to be no hope for life, in nations and regions where reconciliation seems impossible. Empower peacemakers with your spirit, where death holds sway through violence, disease, and hunger. Equip relief workers to bring hope. Merciful God, nurture all in need, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Paul and Carolina, Joe, Robert, Carolyn, Nancy, John, Karen, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, Almighty God, we pray for your love and compassion to be poured out upon the people of Turkey and Syria, for the victims, the injured, and all those affected by the devastating earthquake. It is unimaginable that nearly 20,000 people are confirmed dead and tens of thousands are still missing. We pray for first responders and all those working tirelessly to rescue survivors from beneath the rubble. Merciful God, thanks be to you for the lives of all who have died in Christ. Teach us to follow them in your ways and gather us with them into the promise of eternal life with you. Merciful God,
into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
pray. God of all creation, you made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast in the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Follow the way of Jesus. Thanks be to God.